Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. I just want to use this scripture as an introduction to where we're going today. And it reads like this. I'll paraphrase it. It says, "Can a woman forget her child and not have compassion on the one that she gave birth to?" It's a question. And you probably say, probably not, but maybe. And then it goes on to say this. This is God's word to us. "Yet I will not forget you." What are the chances of a mother forgetting a child? Pretty rare. But God says, even if there's a chance, "I will not forget you." He knows your name. He knows where you are. He even knows how many hairs are on your head. I'm keeping him busy counting. He even knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. And if he knows about a sparrow, how much more will he know about you who are created in his image and likeness? Verse 16, he says, "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Look at your hands. Just imagine your hands front and back full of tattoos of names of people. And you might say, all the, you know, how many billion people in the world? 8 or 9 billion people in the world. Those who love God, is the names on his hands? Well, yeah, because he holds the whole world in his hand. Your hand is limited. His hand is unlimited. His power is unlimited. His reach is unlimited. His ability to hold us so tight when we need to be held is unbelievable. So, the Word of God says that he knows you. He will not forget you. Does he even know what I've been through? Yeah. And sometimes we ask, why wasn't he there? I haven't got all the answers to that in the darkest times. But I know he hasn't forgot you. And he works everything out for good. Even the things we just think, where is God? He's still there. Maybe he's just waiting for us just to open our eyes a little bit more and just experience his kindness. Isn't it amazing? We all make assumptions. I talk to people sometimes and they ask me what I do. I say, well, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, I go to church. And they kind of look at me. Is it good? Well, do I look stupid? And people make assumptions that it's, oh, all they want is your money. Well, if you think that, we're not getting yours, that's for sure. And then they have all these assumptions that have been put in there in their lives by people, and they're assumed, but they've never stepped in and experienced it. And I'm not saying the bad things haven't happened in churches and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But have you ever experienced how good God is? And how good his people can be? Revelation 3 and verse 12 reads like this: "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the house of my God, and I'll write on him my name." So God's not only got our names written in his hand, he's also written his name on us. So he's proud to have you in his life. You carry his name. His name is always, as he looks at his hand, it reminds you're the apple of his eye. And you might say, with the millions of people in the world, how can that be? God is not a man. Are you hearing today? He doesn't act. He doesn't. But man is made in the image and likeness of God. However you see man, God is not limited to man. He is God. Interesting, what else God calls us? Well, Jesus calls us his friends. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he says, we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his masterpiece. Deuteronomy says, we're the treasured possessions. We're sons and daughters of the living God. That's your identity. And the world may try to change what God says about you or what God intention for you. The world's a crazy place at the moment, trying to redefine humanity. But I want to tell you, you can't redefine what God's already defined. Are you hearing me today? You're made in the image and likeness of the Almighty God. As I was just thinking about this whole concept, I was thinking today that one of our biggest challenges is identity theft. And what identity theft is, the gaining an advantage over you by deceit. Someone can take your identity and they can take your details and pretending to be you or someone else, and your life can be disadvantaged because of it. I did a bit of research, and in 2017, there were 770,000 ID thefts in Australia. That's about 1 in 30. So it's not 1 in 1 or 1 in 4, but it's a great percentage. And people, probably even some here today, that you've had your identity kind of stolen, and people have bought things in your name and signed papers in your name, and you just draw money out of the bank in your name, and you just think it's completely unfair. But I want to tell you, there's a greater sinister thing going on in the world, and that is that society is trying to take away your identity as an individual and as a Christian. Your name's important. Your identity is important. Because your name identifies you. Now, my name is John Robert McMartin. John Robert. So, if my mother used to call out, John Robert, don't come back, John. So I asked my parents once, where did you get this wonderful name? John Robert, J.R. And we don't want to go, that's years back. Well, she said, my mother said, well, John was her brother's name. So I'm the seventh child, ran out of names, so Uncle John sounded good, John. Robert, my father spoke up, that was his father's name. So I carry my uncle's name, I carry my grandfather's name, and I carry the family name, McMartin. So I've got someone else's identity and trying to make it mine. But each one of us, we are an individual. It doesn't matter whose name we carry or what name we carry, we are individuals. So John, Rob McMartin, John, Pastor John. And then I was thinking about, and we've got a baby dedication in a moment, that's going to be exciting, but do we name our kids with purpose? Now, I've got a name for you. Look at the screen. I want you to pronounce it for me. La. Someone have a go at pronouncing it online, wherever you are. Who believes that's La? Okay, well, it's not really. It's La-A. La-A. I spent ages trying to work out, I had to Google it in the end. What? How do you pronounce that? The dash is dash. La-A. And I just think, what parent would do that to a kid? Probably someone that works on computers. No. And then I began to think, well, are you any better, John? You've got three children. And I just thought, okay, we called our first son Luke. But he was supposed to be called Joshua. When he was born, dark head, big, he didn't look like a Joshua, he looked like Luke. How do you work that out? It's amazing. People call their children, they look at them and say, yeah, he looks like a Fred. Or he looks like Colleen. We kind of look at them and we name them. Brendan, don't tell him this, But we never named for him for 3 days. Every time we looked at him, no. No, definitely not, no. And then we come up with the name Brendan. And oh, yeah, that'll do, Brendan John. BJ. Pastor B. So we called him Brendan. And I went and told Dad, hey, Dad, I've called Brendan Brendan. And he got mad. Because he knew a fighter, Brendan Jackson. And he didn't like him at all. And every time he saw Brendan, he thought of that person he didn't like. It took him years to get over it. And sometimes we call our kids that and you just think, okay, well, so we got Luke, we got Brendan. Now, Lauren, when she was born, Carol always had this thing in her mind that if we have a girl, we'll call her Lauren Jade. That's cool. But if I had it my way, Lauren would have been called Julie. Because I thought Lauren should be called Julie. But because we made this deal that, Carol, you name the girls, I'll name the boys and that kind of stuff. So our daughter, I love the name, her name is Lauren. You see, your name identifies you. Your name kind of defines you. And we all have a name. You do. And some love your name. Some wish, ma'am, dad, what were you thinking? But you carry the name. Now, whether we reflect the meaning of those names is not the point. What matters the most is the name we have written on our hearts and minds. What is the name that's on your mind that refers to you? Has someone done an identification theft? Has someone taken away your identity and put on another name that you're beginning to carry? And they may call you Chris. And you know there's a Chris in every crowd. But that's not the point. It's what you call yourself. And we really need to reclaim the name and the thought and the concept that God has for us. He sees us as loved. He sees us as accepted. He sees us as forgiven. He sees us rising up. He sees us triumphant. He sees us overcoming. Don't let things define you. What are you allowed to define you? It's not so much a name, it's what you say about yourself. And I've got sympathy for those that have got illness continuously. I'm not having a go at you today, but we've just got to watch what we own. Perhaps you've been rejected, and rejection has defined you. No one loves me, no one accepts me, and that kind of stuff. That's I just hear it all the time. It's the story of my life. History of your life, the story of your life. Well, it may have been up to today, but maybe today we can start to put some pegs in the ground and say, hey, we're not going to be called by that anymore. I'm going to see myself as God sees me. You see, what we believe about ourselves influences every decision we make and every action we take. What you believe about yourself. If I keep believing I'm a loser, I'm going to keep on making loser decisions. If I keep on thinking I'm not of value, we're going to make decisions that devalue us less. If we continuously think we can never get ahead, we're going to make choices that make sure we never get ahead. Then what you name yourself, you're going to make sure that God calls you the same. Circumstances can define you. Tragedy, bankruptcy, unemployment. And I want to ask you this question this morning. What is your name? What's my name? And what helps me? I look beyond my name and I look to what God calls me. He calls me a son, a daughter. No, he calls me a son. He calls me a son. He calls me forgiven, justified, as the song we just sang, just as if I'd never sinned. What's the name that you've got attached to you? And I just pray today we can start to identify them. And I'm not saying these things are easy to fix, but if you can get an idea, Maybe you, if you're a parent, you can get an idea of what you're allowing your kids to say they are. And the way we speak to them. But you got to watch you don't get an attitude. There's a lot of people around today with attitude. You've got a chip on your shoulder. You can't afford that. Get rid of it. Or you go to Bible college and you feel the call of God upon your life and you have your end of college interview and you tell them, Phil, I'm called to be a pastor. Forget it. You haven't got it. Well, what are we going to accept as a name that someone puts on us? You're dumb. You'll never make it. You're uneducated. You're what? But it's what God calls you. You begin to rise up towards it. And you might say you're uneducated now. That's okay. Don't stay that way. You might say you've made bad decisions. Well, let's change it. Your future is not defined by your past. Your future is defined by what you hope to become and what you're leaning towards to become. And just to pull this together, because we're looking at the book of Daniel, and Daniel is an interesting book in the Bible because a lot of prophecies talk about what will happen, or they talk about what has been, but the book of Daniel is in the midst of Israel being in judgment. And here Israel was sent as captives into Babylon. So they were taken out of their culture, out of their practices, and put into another culture that was counterculture to what they were in and what they were used to. So ancient Babylon was a strong nation of warfare, won many battles, possessed much land. They were very wealthy, they were successful, they were a powerful nation, they were idol worshippers, they were morally perverse, and they focused on many things apart from God. And here's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego taken as slaves to go into Babylon, and they lived for God in a counterculture. They stuck by their beliefs and their convictions. All of Israel was in Babylon. Here's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're living for God, not worrying about fanfare, trying to defend himself and getting hurt and wounded. No, this is what we believe, and it's okay. And the rest of Israel, they go hang their harps on a willow tree and saying, it's too hard to be a Christian. How can we be a Christian when everyone's saying bad things and taunting us of immorality and trying to get us into their way of thinking? And they gave up. But there's a few that didn't give up, and God graced them and they become a great blessing in Jesus' name. So when Daniel and his friends came to Babylon, they tried to assimilate them into their culture by pulling them into their lifestyle, by changing their identity. And I just want to read a couple of verses. It'll come up on the screen. It's from Daniel chapter 1. And it says, then the king instructed to bring some of the children of Israel that were in Babylon in captivity, and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. This is what they're looking for, young men in whom there is no blemish. Good looking, some good looking people here today. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who have ability to serve the king's palace, who might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. What would they wanted? They wanted people that could be culture carriers. So they wanted them to deny their God, to take up their pagan practices so that they could help educate the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. And then it says this, to them, the chief gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, he gave Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Now, it wasn't that different because it was a custom to change the slaves' names to the captors' names as a sign of their ownership. You're my slave, I own you. So I will change your name and I will put my stamp upon you. Now, it's interesting to note that the names assigned to Daniel and his friends were a mockery and idolatrous to what the Hebrew faith was. It was enemy strategy to confuse and welcome their and confuse their beliefs and their convictions. You see, it's amazing. What you keep on being called or what you keep naming yourself will rub off on you. Even in the world, if you're identifying too much with the bad side of society, sooner or later you'll start to conform to the way they think and to the way they act and respond. And that's why the Bible encourages, don't be conformers, be transformed. I'm not saying go out there, wave flags and be angry and haters. No, just allow yourself to be transformed so that you know how to stand strong on your beliefs and convictions without being a hater or an angry person. Sometimes we don't get it right. Now, Daniel's name means God is my judge. Who thinks it's a great name? And they changed his name to Belshazzar. Listen to this. Lady, protect the king. So they want to give him a gender change. Come on, Daniel, we don't see you as a man that God, you know, that God's going to look after and God is my judge. No, we call you lady. So the first thing the Babylonians did was try to change Daniel's gender, an integral part of each person's identity. And it's amazing as we look at Daniel, which is an end time prophecy book, how we're beginning to see what was prophesied beginning to be imposed upon our civilization today. Surely it's the end times. Don't get paranoid about that, but may it open your eyes that we're living in a world where the atmospheres are changing, but we really need to know that there's more for us than against us. Tried to change his gender. They also shifted the focus from God to human. With this new name, the purpose was to change Daniel from a person dependent on God to that of a woman who must protect her sovereign. And then you look at Hananiah, which means Yahweh has been gracious. To Shadrach, which means I am fearful of God. The Babylonians wanted to change the focus from God being good to God being bad. They wanted this guy, which I'll go back to his name, Shadrach. They wanted him to kind of begin to think of God as a control freak, someone who was a monster, someone who was out to get them. Even though they were called that, they didn't let that name get on the inside of them. The other one is Michelle. Who can compare to thy God? No one. To Meshach, I am despised, contemptible, and humiliated. Once again, the Babylonians chose a name that perverted the goodness of God in our relationship with him. Shifted the focus. The next one was Azariah. Yahweh has helped to Abednego, the servant of Nebo. Azariah went from being a son or heir of Yahweh, God Almighty, a term of endearment to the living God, to being the slave of another man. What they were trying to do is they were trying to blot out the true nature of God within their lives, to reorientate their identities to become people who serve the Babylonian masters and their gods. But somehow, even though they never had a church, even though they're living in a world that was counterculture, they stood firm and didn't compromise. Why? They didn't get angry. They just dug themselves into the Word of God and just allowed the Spirit of God to strengthen them. And they lived by those convictions. See, what can happen now? Identity can be confused. Well, what do you want me to be? I'll be that. You want me funny? I'll be funny. You want me to jump? I'll jump. If you want me to be moral? I'll be moral. That kind of stuff. Hey, don't let us build our life on what others that are away from God might think. Build our lives upon Jesus Christ. Or our identity can be confused by what I used to be. We can let our past failures define us. And then when you begin to make steps forward, what the enemy wants to say, hypocrite, you failed there. You hypocrite. Hey, hypocrite's not part of my life. I did wrong, I admit it. Don't tell the enemy, you're wrong. if you did something wrong, say, yeah, you're right, but now I'm justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I failed. Yeah, but now I put it right. Because what happens is the enemy, you hypocrite, you liar, look at you. You've got to begin to rip those things off. You're not trying to justify yourself. You are justified through Jesus Christ. The power of those things is broken. The power of those names and the power of how the enemy tries to pervert your identity is broken, and how society wants to pull you away from the living God. We break those things in Jesus' name, and we begin to call ourselves the way that God calls us. See, things begin to change when you encounter God, and then sometimes our identity can be confused because we're based on performance, achievements, awards, and accomplishments. But once we embrace our true identity in Christ, work becomes purposeful and meaningful. It's not about look at me, it's about look at Jesus. Sometimes we get ourselves confused because we base our identity on possessions. Man, I like a nice car. I like clothes. But at the end of the day, car will get old. I'll wash my clothes and the colours will run. The house is good, but someone's got to clean this house. Do you know what I mean? Don't allow your possessions to kind of define you. I'm not against those things. I think it's good. You know, have what you desire, but put Jesus first. What helps me to get hold of my identity? Realize this, you were born for purpose. You were born for purpose. You have, under God, control of your destiny. A dog will always be a dog, but you don't always have to be a dog. You don't have to remain the way you are, because you can grow and change and transform and grow through those things that you've been through too. I believe one of the greatest miracles in life is the day you're born. The next biggest day miracle is finding out why you're born. Understand you're born for a purpose. God gave you gender. He gave you personality, abilities, talents, gifts to accomplish what you're called to do. You are not an accident. You're here on purpose. We're going to walk out of here today, born for purpose, on purpose. So get that sorted out. The next thing I believe it's good for you is begin to serve others. What really helped in my life is not only understanding that God loved me and forgave me and He's got a purpose for me, but as I began to serve others, I began to find myself. And sometimes we're sitting back just waiting, oh God, when it all comes together, I'll begin to, you know, help others and that kind of stuff. The best way you can help yourself is to help others. And my last verse is this, and it's found in James 1:27, and it talks about that pure, undefiled religion. You see, come on, let's be hearers of the word, but not only hearers, but doers. Now, it's not only hearing. You can hear this today, but if it doesn't resonate, you're not going to do it. Are you understanding me? So when you hear it, when it resonates, and you just think, man, I'm going to meditate on that, that become life, then you begin to do it. You've got to be a doer. I hear and I do. Oh, God, I know you've got a plan and purpose for my life. Okay, what do I need to do now? Yeah, I need to look to Him. And the second thing is, I need to do something. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion is to visit. When was the last time you visited someone? When was the last time you had a coffee? When was the last time you shook hands with someone? When was the last time you helped someone mow their lawn or do their cooking or clean up the house or do something practical? I'm too busy. But God says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit. Then He says, the widows and the poor and all that. But I'm one to rest there. Visit. And as you begin to serve others, you'll be amazing. You'll be amazed how freer you become. And I find myself that I've been a Christian for a while now, and I just feel, man, that the more I grow in God, the more natural I become, yet the more spiritual. Naturally, spiritually, free in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.